and smile.
He says he loves me.
And you?
I think I love him.
Think?
Everything has happened very quickly. I want to give this time to see if this is really love or not.
He's a fine young man, said Dan.
He thinks the world of you.
Dan grinned. You see? A man of rare perceptions and fine discriminations. But she did not laugh.
You really must see a doctor. George told me that you received a severe radiation dose.
Mild, Dan said. Not severe. I've had worse, and I got over them.
But you are much older now than you were in those days.
Dan's grin turned bitter. Ah, the innocent cruelty of youth.
Oh, I did not mean to hurt you, Dan.
With a sigh that was only partially a put-on, Dan said, Ah, how keener than a serpent's tooth is a reminder of a man's age from a beautiful young lady. Before she could reply, Big George stuck his head up from the main hatch.
Hey, Dan. Malik's got the tracking data from the peacekeepers.
Come on, Dan said to Tamara as he headed for the hatch. Down in the yacht's main salon, Nobo and Malik sat side by side on a leather couch, poring over the electronic map board. Dan tugged at an armchair. When it barely moved, George picked it up and deposited it at one end of the couch.
According to the satellite data, Nobo said, there were 5 departures from the airport where the helicopter landed.
5? Dan asked. Over what time period?
Within 12 hours of the time the helicopter landed, said Malik.
Dan nodded. It was reasonable to assume that they wouldn't keep Jane at the airport for more than a few hours. They'd want to move her to a safer, better protected location. Nobo was working the control dials of the map. It showed 5 red lines radiating from the airport. The map expanded, as though their point of view were rising like a rocket. 2 of the red lines went to Orly Airport outside Paris, a 3rd to Milan, the 4th and 5th to Oran, on the coast of Algeria.
Would they take her back to Paris? Nobo wondered.
If they have, it will be extremely difficult to find her, said Malik.
Or Milan, too, Dan said. Big cities are easy to hide in and tough to find anybody who's being hidden.
Oran is not that much smaller than Milan, Nobo pointed out.
It must be Milan, Malik said. It's in Italy. That's where Gaetano would take her.
Dan asked, Did those 2 planes for Oran leave at the same time? Nobo checked the data on the map display.
Within 5 minutes of one another.
That's where she's gone, Dan said eagerly. I'd bet on it. 2 planes full of hoods. Malik was shaking his head.
I doubt it.
Tamara, standing behind the couch, touched Nobo's shoulder. He twisted in his seat to look up at her.
You can have Kate Williams followed. She will most likely lead you to Mrs. Scanwell.
Yes, that has already been arranged.
Where'd those planes go after they landed in Oran? Dan asked, still poring over the map. Nobo tapped the map's control keys.
One remained in Oran for 2 hours, then returned to Marseille. The other stayed in Oran for 45 minutes and flew to...
A new red line appeared on the map.
To Cagliari on Sardinia.
Sardinia?
Malik looked shocked. Holy shit, Dan groaned. They must have a stronghold there that's right out of the Middle Ages.
It's a castle, Jane said to herself. An honest-to-goodness castle, just like in a fairy tale.
She stood on the roof, by the crenellated parapet, and gazed down into the green valley below. The Sardinian sun was blazing hot out of a brilliant blue sky, but the breeze was cool. In the shadows it was chilly, and inside the castle's thick walls Jane had felt positively cold. On the long climb up to the roof, along the dark, steeply winding stone stairway, she had seen her breath steaming in the air. They had brought her here the previous night. Her captors had treated her with deference. If they realized that she had pushed the gunman from the helicopter, they gave no indication of it. They had delivered her to a plane, flown to another airport, changed planes, and finally brought her here. All with the exaggerated formality of handling a very high-ranking prisoner of war. No threats, no cruelty, but no warmth or kindness either. This must be the way the British treated Napoleon after Waterloo. He was from Corsica, though not Sardinia, and they took him to St. Helena, little more than a barren rock out in the middle of the Atlantic. The Sardinian countryside was harsh, but not barren. The castle sat perched atop a steep cliff of bare rock, thrust like a fist through the forest below. Down in the valley, Jane could see a tiny village and some cultivated fields. Vineyards, she thought, and wondered how the local wine tasted. Her quarters in the castle were reasonably comfortable, though too small and confined to be royal. The door was thick and bolted from the outside. Her windows were narrow and barred. Peering over the edge of the parapet, Jane tried to locate her room. "If those are my windows," she thought, "there's a sheer drop down the wall and the cliff. Even if I could get past the bars on the window, there's nothing but a straight drop of a couple hundred feet." She sighed. "At least I've got my own bathroom." The kidnappers had been very thorough. When they solemnly escorted her to her room, they assured her that a complete wardrobe had been assembled for her, everything in the correct size. Jane had seen that they told the truth and wondered how they got her bra size. Now she stood in the morning sunlight, wearing the same turtleneck and skirt she had when they had captured her. It was her only sign of defiance that she refused to put on the clothes that they had provided. Otherwise, there was no fight left in her, not even any fear. She was here, and there was nothing she could do about it. If Dan or anyone else on Earth cared about her abduction and was trying to do something about it, she had not the slightest inkling. She had been kidnapped. She had witnessed the cold-blooded murder of 5 people. She herself had killed a man, deliberately pushed him to his death. It was as if all the emotion, all the adrenaline in her had been used up. Now she felt numb, almost dazed, totally unable to do or even think of anything that could help her escape from this. "Are you enjoying the scenery?" She turned and saw Gaetano ducking through the low doorway of the winding staircase. As he started toward her, he pulled a pair of sunglasses from the breast pocket of his jacket and put them on like donning a mask. "You should not stay out in the sun more than a few minutes," Gaetano said. "The ozone, you know."
"You're concerned about my health?"
"Of course."
"How touching."
Gaetano smiled at her and took his cigarette case from his inside pocket. Automatically, he offered a cigarette to Jane, who refused it with a shake of her head. After he lit up, Gaetano said,
"I'm sorry it had to come to this, Jane, but believe me, we have no desire to harm you."
"And those Japanese people who are trying to protect me?"
He shrugged nonchalantly.
"Soldiers killed in a skirmish. It happens."
"It was murder, and you know it."
"So? Salvatore tells me that you might have helped Carlo out of the helicopter."
"He was murdering a helpless girl."
"And you murdered him?"
Jane glared at him. Gaetano puffed on his cigarette, smiling.
"Come on, Jane. There's no sense arguing over spilt milk. Or blood. I have good news for you. Dan Randolph will be coming here for you."
"Dan?"
She tried to control her sudden surge of emotion. Almost succeeded.
"Once he's here, we can let you go."
"What do you mean? What are you going to do to Dan?"
"We just want to keep him quiet, that's all. He's been a pain in the ass for a long time. Now we can hold him here and get on with our plans."
Jane swiftly pieced it together.
"They want to get Dan out of their way, so they take me, knowing that Dan will come after me. I'm the bait. Nothing but bait."
"Once Randolph has come to us, we can let you go back to Paris," Gaetano said.
Then his smile clicked off.
"But you will say nothing about us, or about this, episode. Nothing to anyone, understand? Otherwise, Randolph will die."
"You use me to get to Dan, and then you use him to keep me quiet."
Gaetano nodded.
"As long as you remain quiet, Randolph will remain alive."
He spread his arms wide, the smile reappearing.
"And it's not so bad living here, is it? Princes and kings fought to take this castle centuries ago. We'll let Randolph live like a king."
The memory of Napoleon flashed again through